Hello and welcome to our module looking at organic acids.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
The next piece is very interesting because, well, okay, she has anxiety. She's been off and on anti-anxiety and depression medications over the years. She's currently not on any and doesn't want to be on any, but she gets anxious about everything. She worries about everything. She worries about, you know, if the plane is going to crash, if she gets on it. She worries about if she's going to make it to this appointment or that on time. She's a lovely, wonderful person, and she just has all this worry. And the first thing I usually do to her is I sit her down and I look her in the eyes and I put my arms on her shoulders and I say, let's breathe together. And she'll do that half a breath, like, okay. Like, no, we need to breathe a little bit more. We need to get some relaxation in you, right? That acetylcholine is a neurotransmitter hormone, actually more of a neurotransmitter that gets produced when you're in parasympathetic. She needs more acetylcholine. She needs more of that in her system. She needs less cortisol raging through her body. And fortunately, she does eat fairly well. So she's not eating a lot of junk. She's not continuing to stress herself with the celiac, because otherwise I think she would just be really, really far gone. And she still has a lot of energy, especially at 75. So these are byproducts of stuck pathways and overproduction or underproduction in the neurotransmitters. So she's got four of them high. This homovanillic acid, which is related to dopamine, the vanillic acid, vanillamandelic, the ratio. So her HVA related to dopamine metabolism is elevated and the ratio is high, meaning she's got more HVA versus VMA comparatively, which is more of a thing. And we'll look at that pathway. She's okay on the 5-HIA, which is related to serotonin. And at one point, we did have her on 5-HTP, and I asked her to send me an updated list of what she's actually taking, not what I asked her to take, so we know what she's actually on. But her serotonin looks pretty good, but she's got over-producing dopamine, which is kind of interesting. It's not the typical pattern that you would see in the kind of anxiety that she shows. The quinolinic acid is a toxic byproduct of that serotonin pathway, and we'll look at that in a moment on the picture, and then the quinolinic 5-HIAA ratio. I put this picture in, and they actually include this with the report, and it shows the pathways, and it shows where she has either high or low values. So the tryptophan typically gets converted to 5-HTP to serotonin, and then 5-HIAA. The 5-HIAA is normal. Okay, that's like the waste product of serotonin, the breakdown product of serotonin. But what's happening here is that she is converting a lot of her tryptophan down to quinolinic acid. So we want to find out if she's actually taking tryptophan, number one, because if she is, then it's not doing what she thinks it should be doing. But on the other hand, when she's got like an autoimmune disease can contribute to it, stress can contribute to it, and infection. Well, we know she's got a lot of stress, right? Because that's the way she is. She's just a stressed out person. And we know she's got infection in her gut. So that could be why this quinolinic acid is still elevated. So once we get her on a protocol, we'll go back and I think they recommend 4 to 6 months and retest this to make sure everything is coming back into play. They said if you test too soon, you'll still see things bouncing back and forth and you're not going to get an accurate reading. If you look down below, we've got phenylalanine, a product, phenylalanine, a metabolic pathway. Phenylalanine is an amino acid. It's one of the essential amino acids. And she's okay on the breakdown product of the phenylalanine. But when you go down to the tyrosine, phenylalanine gets converted to tyrosine. I have another picture where you'll see the tyrosine metabolism. Tyrosine is a precursor to thyroid hormone and also to norepinephrine. And she's got some extra creosol there, and the tyrosine gets converted to DOPA, so, and then down to dopamine. So people who, like, say Parkinson's disease is a deficiency of dopamine in the brain, and one of the things that they give people is L-DOPA, right? So we have tyrosine to dopamine, and then we've got to norepinephrine and epinephrine, which is adrenaline and noradrenaline. Noradrenaline and adrenaline. So norepinephrine is noradrenaline and epinephrine is adrenaline. And they get converted to VMA, which she was okay, but her HVA was high. It doesn't say high here, but on the chart there it did say that she was high and her ratio was high. So this is indicating that she's got something that's not going right in her she's either got too much dopamine or the dopamine is not getting converted well enough to epinephrine, norepinephrine, and she is producing too much of this HVA, homovanillic acid. So it's interesting to study these. Again, it'll take looking at these over and over again to really understand, and every time you look at one of these cases, you're going to want to look at this chart. So the HVA and the VMA. The HVA is a dopamine metabolite, and the VMA is a metabolite of epinephrine and norepinephrine. When the person's under a lot of stress, those are usually elevated. In her particular case, the VMA wasn't elevated. I want to go back to that picture and see what it really was. The VMA, it's on the high side, though, on the high side, and she's definitely a stressed-out person. Okay, so if she's taking L-DOPA, dopamine, phenylalanine, or tyrosine, so we want to really be careful and say, what are you taking? Are you taking, she may be taking a supplement she forgot to tell me, that happens a lot, that she was taking, and it may be what we need to do is look at that. Okay, and then the ratio, her ratio was high because her HVA was high, even though her VMA was normal. Number 35, this is another indication of serotonin. She was fine on this, but when it's elevated, it could be that the person is supplementing 5-HTP or tryptophan, but what's happening for her is that that's being converted down to the toxic metabolite quinolinic acid. Well, quinolinic acid is a neurotoxin. So this might be related to why her blood pressure isn't getting controlled. Maybe it's a neurotoxin affecting the receptors for blood pressure control. Maybe it's affecting her, some of the receptors, and she's not getting the anxiety under control or dampening. Let's see. If people eat a lot of foods that contain serotonin, I mean, it's really hard to get a lot of those foods. They say it, but I don't think that that's really a likely scenario, that she's eating too many plums or walnuts or pineapples or eggplants and producing too much serotonin. So this is that quinolinic acid. And it could be a chronic inflammation from microbial infection, right? So she's got that in her gut big time. Right? She's got some central nervous system. Is there degeneration? We don't know. We haven't done an MRI. We haven't looked to see if she's got demyelination. She doesn't act as if she does. There's no indication that she does. Again, I want to ask her if she's taking, maybe she just started taking some formula that somebody told her was a good de-stress formula. This happens a lot with people, right? They just start taking stuff and you're looking and going, why is that? Oh, she's taking too much tryptophan. Okay. And phthalates. You know, which is a toxic chemical in plastics. So maybe it's a phthalate exposure. Yeah, so we're going to work on her gut in order to get this under control. And they're mentioning some of the nutrients that can help, which I've got her on turmeric and garlic. She loves garlic. But she's tried melatonin off and on, but I don't think we've done L-carnitine. So that might be something that we'll be looking at now. We're still on the neurotransmitters, and the chiuronic acid is usually related to tryptophan. I'm going back because I want to see what she was elevated in. See, if you were doing this, going through somebody's report, you'd be having two sets of pages. Chiuronic is fine, but the 38, the quinolinic. So it's, yeah, that one's fine. So this is not something that's indicated for her, but I want you to understand where these things come from. Yeah, so the chiuronic, and we'll look when we look at her vitamin metabolism that her B6 looks pretty darn good, but she has a couple of other vitamins that look out of whack. And the ratio is just the ratio between these guys, and she has an elevated ratio because she's got the high quinolinic acid. And again, she does have the infection in her gut. So this is the interpretation that they gave me for this particular person. She had elevations in the marker 32, which was the HVA, marker 34, which is the HVA-VMA ratio, and then the low levels of 5-HIAA, which may be lower production of serotonin, which doesn't make sense with some of this other stuff, but maybe more of the substrate is being converted into the quinolinic acid. So usually you see that more in somebody who has elevated serotonin. Again, people who are on a lot of have heavy metals, they definitely recommended that we do heavy metal testing on her to see if some of this is coming from toxic metal exposure. My feeling is like, yeah, we can do that, but I first want to really address that gut. I really want to address that gut and see if it's related to Clostridia and see if some of this stuff comes down when we get her gut under control. But not to say that we won't. I'll mention to her, she's, you know, the budget's tight if she can get Medicare to pay for doing heavy metal tests like a hair test or a challenged urine test, then we could go ahead and do that. So this is what they said for her. She also has the high quinolinic acid. And what are they saying? It can inhibit heart contractions, called lipid peroxidation in the brain, increased cell death, and changes in the astrocytes in the brain. So arthritis, she doesn't really have much in the way of arthritis. It's a heavy metal chelator, which means that it may be being produced in excess so that we can chelate extra metals in her. Inhibits enzymes that allow the body to produce glucose when needed. So somebody who doesn't have a lot of energy would be dealing with this. So what they're recommending is that if they're taking supplements of tryptophan, definitely to reduce those. Of course, the infections need to be dealt with, and there's ways to deal with the infections. We all have our own special ways. Carnitine, melatonin, capsaicin, and turmeric and garlic to help protect. They've got antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. Again, we're coming up with niacin. We came up with that in the Krebs cycle. And inositol hexaniacinate is actually a non-flush form of niacin. So you have to just see which one is going to work better for her. She doesn't have elevated cholesterol. I mean, it's a little bit. Her cholesterol actually is a little bit elevated. And niacin tends to help to bring that down, both forms, high enough doses of inositol hexaniacinate. And that's basically that. And then the ratio, again, they're saying the same things. So if she's taking 5-HTP, it's probably not going to be converted down to quinolinic acid. But if she's taking tryptophan itself, and I don't think she is taking tryptophan itself. And so it's basically similar things. So we're looking at getting rid of the gut bugs, getting her stress under control, looking at heavy metals, and supplementing with the B vitamins, especially niacin, but also from the Krebs cycle, we're looking at riboflavin. This is just showing you the metabolism of serotonin. So it goes from tryptophan to 5-hydroxytryptophan to serotonin. You need B6 in order to do that conversion. So whenever I'm putting somebody on 5-HTP to produce more serotonin, I'll give them B6. And then the 5-hydroxyindoleacetic acid requires B2 and copper in order to convert there. If you have a high level of 5-hydroxyindoleacetic acid, you're showing either a very high turnover rate of serotonin, it's being broken down quite substantially, or you might not be making as much as you should. Here's another metabolic pathway. This again was taken from the Metametrics Organics Interpretation Guide. They had a lot of nice pictures, but I thought this was a really nice way to look at the tyrosine and phenylalanine. So you eat food, it contains phenylalanine, it sometimes contains tyrosine. Things like macuna, which help you to produce more tyrosine, are helpful. The tyrosine gets converted down through the pathway, needing iodine and copper to get down to the thyroid hormone. So, of course, if you don't have iodine, you're not going to create that thyroid hormone. Triiodo or quad, you know, the four, T4 and T3 are actually the iodine with tyrosine. It's just, it matters the number of iodines. Tyrosine also helps produce melanin, which is skin pigmentation. And it also goes down to produce DOPA and dopamine. And then dopamine goes on to produce norepinephrine and epinephrine. So we are looking here and seeing that she has an elevation of the homovanillate. So more of that dopamine is being converted down to homovanillate than is being converted to the norepinephrine and epinephrine. And when we go into the more nutrigenomics section, we'll look at COMT as a common, it's a very common genetic abnormality, and that could affect this whole pathway as well. And given she has MTHFR, and she thinks she does, and she didn't want to test it because it's several hundred dollars to do it, I might be recommending that she checks out the 23andMe test so we can actually see what all of her genetic abnormalities are, so we can help her to support and nourish those and maybe feel better. And then the tryptophan metabolism, again, looking at it from a different angle, is how it produces the quinolinate, was the tryptophan to serotonin and the 5-hydroxy, which we looked over here before, but then the tryptophan can also be converted down the pathway to hydroxykynurenine and quinolinate, and those are toxic byproducts. And when we look at this, the 5-HTP is actually after the L-tryptophan. So L-tryptophan gets converted to 5-HTP to serotonin, so that if you're giving somebody the 5-HTP, you don't run the risk of them converting to the quinolinate. But if you're taking the straight tryptophan, you can. So the next piece is folate metabolism. And we know that people with the 5-MTHFR genetic problem do not methylate the folate, and it's really important to give them methylfolate, 5-MTHF, 5-methyltetrahydrofolate. And when you see she's got perfectly normal, she's a little bit on the low end for the uracil elevated, so she's actually doing well with her supplementation of folate. She's been taking about 2 milligrams a day, sometimes up to 5 milligrams. So she's doing well with that. She's been doing that for years. She takes that religiously. I mean, she really gets that. That's an important piece. So we're not seeing problems with folate metabolism in the uracil and thymine. But if we did, if she wasn't supplementing that, my guess would be that we'd see some problems there. So she's already taking care of this particular pathway problem.